has had me. Holy then will I be free. Oh, she was hiding me, and every girl face I see. Oh, she's killing me now.
Listen, I haven't been booked all season. And I took one today. And the reason I took one was I said, hey, this is now, if you go back at our games, we had two Stonewall penalty opportunities today that now changes the whole game. We had one against Edmonton that, Richard Lucca gets hauled down by one of their players. We had a couple at Pacific. We're the only team in the league now that I don't think has had a penalty for us. And like Nick said before, all we want is consistency, because we've given three away and those three were penalties. And we've got no qualms about that, but I'm going to fight for our lads, because I think it's got to be said that all we want is consistency in calls that decide games. And that was two today that changes that outcome of that game.
That was Tommy Wheeldon Jr. following the game against Valor FC back on the 4th. Cavs came away with a 1-0 win on that one. We'll touch on that a little bit more in a few minutes. My name is Shafe, and I'm reunited, and it feels so good. With my co-host, Doogie. It's been a while. How you doing, buddy?
I'm back in action. It's good to see you guys listening to us. Good to see your face, Shafe. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, man, back in the studio once again after a busy month. But before we get into the Valor game here, let's jump in the DeLorean, go back in time a couple weeks and touch on the Cavs' run of form. Let's go back all the way to the 29th for the first of back-to-back games against FC Edmonton.
Yeah, Shafe, it was a hard-fought 2-2 draw at Atco Field, and it was a very tough match. Unfortunately, the Cavs played very well, but they just didn't seem to get the bounces this game.
Yeah, Cavs came from behind twice in this one. Not once, but twice. The Eddies opened up the scoring really early on there, and I think it was the 7th minute.
Yeah, 7th minute, FC Edmonton capitalized early with a bad clearance off of Cavalry's Dan Klomp, who was caught out position pinching for a loose ball. And they slipped Gonzalez in with a cool finish past Marco Carducci.
Yeah, tough one to swallow there right at the beginning of the game, especially when the Cavs look to be pretty well in control. To see Edmonton strike first, it doesn't look good. You know, sometimes you kind of score too early in a game, and it feels like this might have been one of those times for FC Edmonton.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Cavalry, to their credit, they fought back hard, and, you know, they finally caught their break off of a blocked shot by Joe DiChiara that kindly falls right back to him, and he made no mistake in the bottom right corner of the Eddies' net.
Yeah, he beat Connor James on that one, just refusing to give up on the play. That tenacity, that's what I like to see.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, speaking of someone that never gives up, Mo Farsi, he looked ready to play on August 29th at Atco Field. I mean, he was setting up chances left and right, and in the 35th minute, he made a penetrating run to set up Ben Fisk in the Eddies' box.
Yeah, amazing opportunity for Ben Fisk to get ahead in the late stages there of the first half. But again, Connor James coming up with a brilliant save. He was looking sharp for the Eddies.
Yeah, I mean, Mo Farsi could have had 3 or 4 assists that game, you know, if it weren't for Connor James and, give the Eddies some good defending. So
absolutely. And Mo Farsi has been a man possessed lately. The last few games, just absolutely incredible. And this one especially, streaking down the field every chance he got. The footwork was impeccable. He was involved in almost every chance for the Cavs.
Yeah, it almost gets redundant talking about him. He's just so consistent for us, and he's always doing this. He's always creating chances, and he's always running at defenders. So keep it up, Mo, if you're listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Want to see him on the score sheet more and more often. FC Edmonton were awarded a penalty kick in the 64th minute when Jose Escalante slides to block a cross coming in the box with his trailing arm. It hits the ball, and, you know, he couldn't really do too much about that. He was making a great defensive play, and I thought it was a pretty soft penalty here. Jose wasn't trying to make himself big or an unnatural body position or anything like that.
Yeah, it's a tough call for the Cavalry, and you know, it's just as easily the right call as the wrong call by the referee. I mean, without VAR and that kind of thing, like, it's tough, but yeah, real tough call for the Cavalry. And I mean, we've seen handballs like this in the past come up, and they just don't seem to be good for Cavalry, no matter what the outcome is.
Yeah, so now 2-1, Edmonton is up. Edmonton has never beaten Cavalry at all, and in with 25 minutes left in this game, they were well poised to come ahead with these 3 points.
Yeah, the game looked to be getting away from them a bit, and it just didn't seem to be their night.
Yeah, another killer cross from Mo Farsi in the 72nd minute finds the head of the newly subbed on Jose Hernandez, but he sends it just inches over the crossbar, and again, just minutes later, Farsi, just incredible.
Yeah, Shafe, it's, you know, they had chance after chance, and, you know, Joe DiChiara earlier had a miss, and in the 78th minute, Mo Farsi sends a ball right across the 6-yard box, what he's been doing all match, and Anthony Novak just can't get his foot on it. You know, 9 out of 10 times on other day, he scores that, right? And just wasn't their day, it seemed.
Yeah, Novak's really having to fight for that starting position in the lineup. You know, a lot of squad rotation now with such a busy schedule. But the Cavs are just doing fantastic. Staying on that front foot through the entire game, they were able to keep the pressure on. And it wasn't until the 89th minute that they were finally rewarded for their efforts. Victor Latore sends the ball up the gut to find who else?
Joe Mason. Yeah. Digs deep as he has all season since he's been getting his caps. And what a great peel off the defender. He turns calmly, slots the ball low on Connor James, and yeah, salvages a very important point for the Cavalry.
The man machine, Joe Mason. He has the hot boots right now, and he spoils the Eddie's party. Still not coming away with a victory over the Cavs this week.
No, a tough, tough El Clasico match, and as we said, very, very important point off of the first of 2 El Clasico matches.
Yeah, that's right. The Cavs face the Eddies yet again, just 3 days later on the 1st of September up in Edmonton. You know, I saw on TV a small group of Cavs supporters made the pilgrimage up north for this cold, wet afternoon. So shout out to all the foot soldiers who made the trip up north to Clark Field.
Big time, definitely. It was not a pleasant day to be standing still in the stands, that's for sure. So that's good that our fans don't stand still, right? Yep. The start of the match saw FC Edmonton pressing hard for the first goal, but it was the Cavs who would strike first. Richard Luka, with his first start in quite some time, sees him set up Anthony Novak in the 26th minute, maybe unintentionally, as the ball kind of comes off Selimane's heel, but when you get in dangerous areas like that, you're always giving attackers an opportunity to pop one in.
Yeah, just putting yourself in the right position at the right time, just wait for that ball to hopefully find you, and finally, Novak back on the score sheet yet again.
Yeah, that's what he does best, Shafe, and I mean, you know, he, out of anybody in this league, he knows where to be in those key times, key moments. So, yeah, it's good to see him get a little reward for his work.
Marco Carducci absolutely stole the show in this one, coming up with some huge saves in the second half especially.
Arguably makes the 2 best saves of the night in the dying seconds after turning aside a great volleyed effort and resetting himself very quickly for the follow-up attempt. You'd have to say this preserved and this won us the 3 points in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. We needed those 3 points. It's so tight at the top half of the table. We'll come back with the latest game from the Cavs just after this word from our sponsor.
I love to bake, but I either don't have the time or I'm missing a crucial ingredient. That all changed when I discovered Lazy Bake. Baking kits delivered right to your door. I just need a couple basic ingredients and I'm baking like a pro. All you need is water for delicious campfire cookies or a can of beer for the Dilipino beer bread. Lazy Bake makes baking a breeze for even the most inexperienced baker. Visit lazybake.com and enter promo code BRBFOOTY for 25% off your first order. LazyBake.com, promo code BRBFOOTY. LazyBake, baking made easy.
And the Cavs were back in action September 4th when they faced Valor back at IG Field for the first time since the kickoff bubble. The game looked much closer on paper than it was in reality. Shots were almost dead even in this one, but the Cavs did have a slight edge in possession.
Yeah, and yet again, the first chance falls to the opponents with Austin Ritchie making a nice move around Dan Clomp, but Marco Carducci is there to palm it away. Then in a turnover in the 15th minute by Elliot Simmons, it finds Austin Ritchie yet again breaking in on Karifi Yao, who intervenes an all-important slide tackle in the box.
Yeah, Ritchie was looking dangerous early on in the match. And then in the 20th minute, Sergio Camargo is taken down by Jonathan Sirios when he finds himself alone in the box. Sirios looked to take the player out as he was going for the ball. I mean, the ref was in a good position to make the call on this one.
Yeah, it's a tough call. And I mean, you know, I almost didn't think it was a penalty as much as I hate to say it. Sirios, he did great job timing his effort to just beat Camargo slightly to the ball. But as you said, Shafe, it was a bone cruncher. It was a rough challenge.
Yeah, and like Tommy said at the top of the show, Cavs are the only team this season to not have a penalty awarded to them.
Yeah, Shafe, and that's tough to play like that, you know. You got to make sure that you're not looking for penalties. As we've seen, sometimes you can develop a reputation for diving or for looking for those things. But, some of these other teams are coming away with wins because they're getting these calls in their favor. And yeah, it is a bit hard luck, isn't it?
Yeah, honestly, it's such tough luck a lot of the times. And I don't think we are the team that's like going down super easy, really soft. We try to stay on our feet as much as we can. I think sometimes maybe there's been a player or two that has started to develop that reputation, Escalante. But I really feel that the culture of the Cavs really demands that you stay on your feet, you fight for the ball, and you don't go down easy.
Yeah, definitely. And I agree with that. So, you know, they're just got to play their game and keep their chins up.
Yeah, and 32nd minute, Ben Fisk chips the ball over to find Mason alone right in front of the net to bring it down and guide it home. You know, that's 5 goals in 8 appearances for Joe Mason.
Yeah, he is on fire. And, it was kind of this goal, as on fire as he is, this goal was kind of Valor's doing themselves, you know. Joe Mason earlier looks for a quick turn at the top of the box and Valor wins the ball, and they kind of miss their chance to clear their lines as Joe Mason forces a turnover from Elliot Simmons, who then finds Ben Fisk on the wing there.
Yeah, great pressure from the Cavs to keep that ball alive, fight for that point.
Definitely. And then when you look at they had their chances to clear lines, then you're looking at defense, and Shafe, I really think the Valor defender should probably be doing better here on his defensive header. It took him completely out of the match.
Yeah, I don't know if he needs a new prescription. He didn't have his contact lenses in, but somehow he massively misjudged where that chip was coming in, puts himself way out of position to leave Joe Mason alone, completely alone in the box.
Yeah, and as we've said, seeing the ball fall to Joe Mason is not what you want to see as a defender in the box. So, kind of their own doing there, Shafe, and now Cavs are up 1-0.
Yeah, and it was getting scrappier and scrappier by the minute. A scuffle actually ensued in the 36th minute there when Trafford and Galero come together. Kind of looked like he took Galero out from behind. I wasn't really sure how that whole thing started, but it was getting really heated.
Yeah, it was a bit of a rash challenge from Trafford, and I think he slipped a little bit when he went to challenge Gilardo, and he slipped and he took him out at the legs, but it's a foul. The foul was called, and Gallardo took exception, that's for sure. So it was starting to kick off.
Yeah, the cards were coming out fast and furious. And speaking of a fast and furious boy, Camargo speeding down the wing is brought down yet again in the 51st minute, right in the box, chopped down. I think this was absolutely a clear penalty if I've ever seen one. I swear, if this had happened to any other club in the league, that would have been a penalty.
I agree with you. And, you know, I think it was a penalty, and he's, you know, he's V-lining into the box and the defender chops him down. I can see why the referee doesn't want to call it. You know, they call this arguably the Cavs seal the game with a, you know, a 2-0 lead. But that's really, it looked a penalty to me as well.
Yeah, and it's kind of seems to me one of those calls that, yeah, okay, it's going to give Cavalry a huge advantage, but it's becoming a heated, scrappy match. And in order to maintain control over this one before things boil over, I feel like that's one of those calls, one of those penalties that you have to award.
Yeah, I agree. And it really does help keep control of the, you know, of the game, which, as we will see, does start to boil over a bit, you know. But before that happened, there's the missed penalty call could have actually came back to haunt them in the 58th minute, as Karifa Yeo has a rare giveaway in the last line of defense. And who does he spring loose but none other than Austin Ritchie?
Yeah, Austin Ritchie left alone. No other line of defense after Yeo gives it up. And it's just Marco left all alone with his long arms to stretch out and deny the Eddies a great opportunity.
Go gadget arms,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, seriously.
Great, Marco. No, he really knows when to come out and when to stay on his line. And that puts him, a league above some of these other goalkeepers in the league. Just his sense of awareness.
Yeah, his soccer IQ is phenomenal.
Yeah, and then in the 63rd minute, Valor showed just why they're still in the hunt for a top three finish, as Siros breaks up a crossed effort from Cavalry, only to turn the ball immediately upfield for a Valor break. I mean, they were really pushing for a goal in this one. Carducci comes up yet again with a big palm on the low cross to palm it out of danger to Karifa Yeo, who was more than happy to clear it and make up for his earlier mistake.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you give a ball away once and you're just looking for some way to redeem yourself at that point on. Sometimes it comes out poor because you start fighting back too hard and you end up taking the player out, leading to a penalty or something like that when you get caught off like that.
No, and I think he's done a really good job keeping his head about him, Schaaf. This last, you know, couple, even this last month, I would say he's really, really being smart with his play. And even if he does have a mistake, he doesn't let that affect his gameplay going on from there. So that's he's really somebody to keep an eye on going forward.
Yeah, he's definitely coming into his own. And in this game, such an exciting match, start to finish, getting really heated there by the end.
Yeah, the stadium was charged, wasn't it? It had a bit of an electric feel, didn't it, Schaaf?
You know, someone was bound to get a red card in this game, and it finally happened in the 98th minute. Romero pulls down Norman Jr. before Valor's free kick. It was hard to see exactly what happened there, but I think Romero stomped on his foot, and that's why Norman Jr. collapsed down on the field. You know, Cavs were able to draw Valor into taking a dumb penalty just in the very last stages of the game.
That's exactly what happened, Schaaf, and, you know, It was a stupid, stupid mistake by the Valor player. I mean, I get things can get heated, but the referee was looking right at them because they were tussling. And then he steps in front of Norman Jr. and clearly stomps his foot. That's literally exactly what the referee is looking at. Yeah. He puts his foot in front of the other guy's foot so you can see it. Very stupid play. And, you know, that might put them in a disadvantage in the upcoming games if he does miss matches. Yeah, it was a scrappy game. Kind of right from the get-go with 12 cards being shown.
Oh, man.
Six to each team. Six yellows for Cavalry, 5 yellows, and of course a red to Valor.
I don't even hand out 12 cards on Christmas.
Nope.
Carducci, man of the match in this one, came up with big save time and time again to earn that clean sheet. Joe Mason, who else, on the score sheet once again with that hot foot. And here's what Tommy had to say about the pair following the match.
Well, I loved your article about him and about his movement around and being a poacher. And that's why we'd signed him. He's like that because we got to get the ball to him. But I tell you, it was interesting. You know, Marco's gone back-to-back man of matches because and if we'd have scored the second or third or had one of those penalties, we're talking about a different game and maybe a little less stress on them breaking and countering. But those two are playing on cheat code right now, and it's fortuitous for us.
The Bow River Brigade podcast is part of the Northern Starting 11 Network, online at nsxinetwork.com.
Joe Mason, goal machine.
Yeah.
Doesn't that have a good ring to it?
Part man, part goal machine.
Definitely. I mean, can anyone stop Joe Mason from scoring right now? I mean, he is on fire, arguably making a stance for the Golden Boot.
Oh, he is doing such a run. I thought like I should have picked him when I was picking my Golden Boot. It was so hard to tell who was going to be the hot foot, who else was still yet to make an appearance, make his mark in the lineup. Joe Mason has fit into this Cavalry lineup like hand into glove.
No, he looks just great. And I mean, he's only 2 goals shy of João Morales' 7 goals in 12 matches. And I think, what did you say, Shafe? It was
5 goals in 8 appearances for Joe Mason.
That's phenomenal. And I mean, it shows. If you look at his stats in the championship and stuff like that, he is a poacher. And we should have known, Shafe. We should have known.
Yeah, I'm glad to have him on our side wearing the right colors. So after that latest Cavs victory over Valor, that puts us neck and neck with Pacific. Same in points, just trailing them in goal difference. And Pacific is actually going to be our next opponent coming up here September 9th. We go out to the coast to face them yet again. And again, it's going to be a battle for first place.
This division, you know, East and West kind of division of who's playing who is been really tough. I mean, playing Pacific.
Yeah.
Playing Pacific in the Canadian Championship, playing Pacific here, playing Pacific there, it's getting tough, and I really hope they can keep their legs under them for, you know, for a playoff run, having playing such tough matches.
Well, I think, what did they say? The best samurai swords are forged when they go through the most tempering, the most trauma, the most heat. And when we're facing Pacific time and time again, we're getting into that fire. We're temping our sword in a way that Forge simply can't.
Yeah, arguably, you could say they are in a weaker division.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, having Forge playing Halifax, Atletico, York United all the time, whereas, you know, we actually don't get to host Forge a single time this entire season. And if they had of actually, and still sadly could, if they were to finish above us, you know, even if we were to play them in the playoffs, we would have to go to their city and they play on their field, right? So it's, I would really like to, you know, to see Forge up against Cavalry, up against PFC, and it is coming. It's in the, I believe, the last couple weeks of September they play Pacific, and then the last couple weeks of October they play us. So those are going to be very interesting matches.
Yeah, Forge have, an arguably better run, an easier run of games when they play all the Eastern teams. You know, they lost just this week to Halifax 2-0, games that they should be winning. They're either dropping, they're tying, and they should be doing better.
To be fair to them, Forge has beaten PFC twice this season out of 2 matches and split a pair of matches with the Cavalry.
Yep.
But this was also in the bubble, and these two teams, Pacific and Cavalry, they look rejuvenated teams since they've been able to come home to their supporters. And you know, since that bubble ended, they're clearly the top two teams in the league, at least since the bubble ended. So it is. It's going to be very interesting to see when Forge comes up against them.
Cavalry and Pacific locking horns so many times this season is only making those two clubs better.
It's good to be facing good opponents, and you could actually even say, arguably, with their last results, they might have even booked their tickets into the top four postseason.
Yeah, I don't really see Pacific or Cavs being bumped out of the top three spots, at least. That third and fourth spot still up for grabs, going to be very hard fought between Forge and Valor and whoever else. There may be a dark horse that comes up if Eddies get a good run of games. If York are coming together, you never know.
They definitely could. And as I said, you know, when we go out and play a couple of those Eastern teams in the later half of the season in October towards there, it's going to be very important, because a win for them gets them just that much closer to us. If we beat them and maybe York wins, or maybe FC Edmonton wins or Valor wins, then yeah, Forge could be dropping or rising in the matter of a game or two, right? So
yeah, it's going to be an important stretch here, but a quiet stretch of September here for the Cavalry at home. The game that I thought we were predicted was supposed to be on the 14th of September, maybe at home here facing what turns out is now Pacific in the Canadian Championship, is actually going to be on the 22nd of September.
Yeah, it's actually going to be replaced by the Canadian Championship game, and the game's been rescheduled to October 30th at 1:30 p.m. against Valor. So, you know, get your spooky gear together. It's the Halloween game.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go as Tommy Wealdon Jr. I've been growing my hair out for 2 years now just so that I could go as Tommy Wealdon for Halloween. You know, found a gray hair in my hair today, so I'm en route to having my costume ready to go.
No pun intended about roots, right? Yeah. No, because we're rescheduling to the October 30th match, this actually means that Cavalry will not play a home league game during September at all.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy. It's such a lonely September for us Cavs fans.
Oh, so lonely.
So lonely.
At least we have one soccer to watch. And keep your eye out. There's always watching parties down at the Rose and Crown, Kildare's every so often. So keep an eye out for those. You know, stay active. Keep your footy mind active and ready to watch some football.
So who are you predicting here for this game coming up against Pacific on the 9th? Who do you think's taking home the 3 points? Or will anyone take home the 3 points?
Man, that's going to be a tough, tough, tough match. You know, I think it is going to be a 1-1 draw.
Yeah. Honestly, 1-1, great prediction. Kind of in the same realm that I was going. I think it's going to be one of those games that you get maybe a goal in the first half, a goal early on in the second half. It's going to be real cagey all the way to the end. I'm seeing the Cavs pulling away near the end, getting that second goal for a 2-1 victory.
Definitely, Shafe. I could see that. I'm saving my victory guess for, I guess, the Canadian Championship match where I can cheat and it has to be a victory, right?
It has to be a victory. Yeah, that's going to be an exciting game on the 22nd at ACCO Field. Finally stepping foot back in ACCO Field for the month of September, but we have a little ways yet to go.
Definitely. And speaking of ways yet to go, Shafe, we've had a few announcements in, you know, Calgary sports that you were mentioning.
Yeah, you know, right now we've seen that, you know, we've seen the Whitecaps, I believe, as well as the Vancouver Canucks, the Calgary Flames, the Calgary Hitmen, and even the Stampeders here in town have all now decided that they need proof of vaccination in order to attend one of their events. Cavalry have not said word one on this, which I'm not really understanding. Yes, it's an outdoor event, but so is the Stamps. They're all owned by that same organization. But I think the Cavalry should probably enforce this same measure. Just makes sense at this point.
Well, I mean, whether they enforce it or not, Shafe, you know, it's something you're going to want to keep an eye out for, because, you know, things are changing. Like, I actually have season tickets usually to the Hitmen. And right. things come and change real quick. I got the emails saying, you know, yeah, we're going to be initiating this policy of proof of vaccination. And that was, you know, you had something like 2 weeks before the policy dropped. So it's something, you know, as a sporting fan, you're going to want to keep an eye out because it's going to be changing, and it's going to be changing very quickly when it does.
If you guys are hesitating for whatever reason it may be, and maybe this is the thing that's going to spur you to go and get vaccinated, because if you have season tickets to the Cavalry and all of a sudden they decide, you know, oh, next week everyone's going to have at least one dose or something, let's maybe just get on top of that now. It's hard to kind of have any sort of real spacing in there. So with case numbers that the way they are, safe bet to continue living life normally and getting out and about, enjoying the Cavs games, is probably to get a shot in your arm if you are able to.
And regardless, you know, we don't want to get political. This isn't a political podcast. But, you know, regardless of if you have your vaccination or don't, stay safe out there so we can all, you know, get back in the stadium, stay in the stadiums, yeah, and, you know, watch the teams we love and root them on.
Yeah, too long spent watching them through a small screen. Don't ruin it now. I just want to keep going to games.
I won't do it. I won't go back.
I won't do it. I won't go back.
I won't do it, Captain. I don't have the power.
Exactly. All right, well, that about does it for another episode of the Bow River Brigade podcast. Doogie, good to see you back in the booth and get pods coming out on the regular.
It's great to be back, and they'll be coming out. So keep an eye, keep an ear out, and we really appreciate you guys supporting us. You know, follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, on all the social media at BRBFooty. That's BRBFOOTY.
Yeah, and send all your hate mail to BRBFooty@gmail.com. Music is brought to you by local Calgarian musician Mitch Bellot. Visit him online at mitchbelot.com. Available everywhere that you stream music. Follow him on Instagram to see when the latest shows are.
Yeah, keep an eye out. He's been doing a few shows as of late. So, you know, if you like to get out, you like to move your feet and dance, go see Mitch Bellot.
Yeah, absolutely. Get down and boogie. And until next time, march on.
BRB.